The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Baba Kama has been generously sponsored in our Daf Yomi program by our good friend and patron and charter member of our Daf Yomi class, Siyahu Ashar HaKohen and his dear wife, Rina. That Be'ezrat Hashem, they will have continued Hatzlacha, Harvaha, Bechol, Ma'aseh, Yedehem, Bri'ut, health, happiness, prosperity, and much nachat from their children. May they enjoy many years of Shalom Bayit, tranquility, and peace of mind. Amen ve'amen. Daf Kuf Bet. Today's daf is being studied in the Nishmat, Barat Zekanat Yefa, Batzara, and the Nishmat. Avraham ben Esther, Hashem Tirham ben Eden, Amen. Today's daf is being studied for Ashish Ramah, Moshe ben Dinah, and the Faradol. For the Nefesh, for the Gur, for talking about the Baba Kenya, and so on, Amen. We begin today's daf on Kuf Bet Amud Lishon, and we are starting on the top line. Amar Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana said, V'esim lehasaka. This subject that we said on the previous daf, that stam esim, stam trees, are destined for fuel. And therefore the law of Shemitah does not apply to trees. Why? Because we have a rule by Shemitah. The rule of Shemitah is what? That only things that are, that hana'atanu bi'uran ba'im ke'ehad, which means, the time you're being ne'eneh, at the time that it's being destroyed, is the exact time that you're being ne'eneh. When you take something for fuel, you burn it first, it gets destroyed, and then the hana'at comes after it becomes a coal. Therefore, etzim are not subject to the laws of Shemitah. The Gemara taught us before that stam etzim are omed la'asaka, therefore the laws of Shemitah do not apply to etzim. The Gemara says now, on today's daf, that is indeed a machloket amongst the Tanaim. The Gemara says, Tanaehi, Itanya, we have a beraita in Muslim perot shevi'id. You're not allowed to use perot of shevi'id. For example, let's say wine, lo lemishra, for soaking pishtan. To make the pishtan soft, it was soaked in the liquid. So you cannot use wine of Shemitah in order to soak the pishtan. Velo lichbusa, or for not for washing garments. You cannot use it as a liquid in order to wash the laundry garments. Rabbi Yose Omer, notin perot shivit letoch ha-mishra, letoch ha-kevusa. And Rabbi Yose argues and says, indeed, you're allowed to use it for soaking purposes and for laundering purposes. Comes the Gemara and says, my ta'amad rabbanan, what is the reason of the rabbis that say it's asur to use the wine for these purposes? Amar kira le'ochla. So the Gemara makes a diuk. From le'ochla, you can eat the product of Shemitah. Ve'lo le'mishra, but not for soaking. Le'ochla, again, eating. Ve'lo lichbusa, but not for laundering. The Rabbi Yose Omer, Rabbi says no. Amar kira lachem. Says, Vaita Shabbat ha'aretz lachem. Le'chol sorchechem, for all your needs. The Rabbanan ha'me'akediv lachem. Oh, what do the rabbis do with the word lachem? So Gemara says no. Lachem dumya de le'ochla. Yeah, the lachem is similar to what the ochla is coming to include. B'mishanato bi'oro shavin. Just like achila, the bi'ur of it, the destruction of it, and the hana'ah comes simultaneously, so to any item that's yotzorech, that the bi'ur and the hana'ah come simultaneously. However, yatzu mishra uchbusa shanatan achar bi'uran, which means the hana'ah of the mishra and the destruction of the Shemitah pride does not happen simultaneously, which means first when you stick the wine, let's say, in the keli, the wine becomes destroyed once you stick the pishtan in it. But the pishtan doesn't become softened until later on. When the same thing with the garment. You take the garment, you start to launder it, the Shemitah pride becomes ruined right away when you start laundering with it, but the garment doesn't become clean till after. So therefore, lechon sorchechem, only things that are like achira, that what the hana'ah tanu bi'uran ba'in ke'achad. Yatsu, these items, HaKamim say that the hana'ah and the bi'u do not happen simultaneously. Oh, the Rabbi Yosef HaKetiv le'ochla. Oh, what does the Rabbi Yosef do with the pasuk of le'ochla? Which teaches me the chara, the hana'ah and the bi'ur have to come simultaneously. Amar lecha, hu miv'ele lech netanya. He needs it for something else. Netanya, le'ochla, ve'lo lim lugma. That it's asur to use a Shemitah product for a patch, for a plaster, for, let's say, healing, and things like that. Oh, you're coming to tell me that the Ochla is coming to teach me, velo limlugma, not for plastering, meaning for refuah, o eno ela le'ochla velo lechmusa. Maybe the Ochla is coming to exclude that the Ochla is mutar, and kibus, and what? And laundering is asur. Which means, who told you to be yoseh, to come and exclude using the Shemitah item for plastering and allowing laundering? Maybe it's coming to say it's asur for laundering. No, because when the pasuk says lachem, you see, you're allowed to use it for your own uses. Kevusa amur. Laundering is mutar. How many mikayim neochla? So where's the ochla coming to exclude? Neochla v'lod l'mnugma. So the Gemara says, umara ita l'rabot kevusa o l'tsiyata m'nugma. Why did you come say that kevusa is mutar and m'nugma is asur? You could have said the opposite. You could have said that what? That kevusa is asur and m'nugma is mutar. I mean, basically, you have two pesukim. One's the ochla, which is coming to exclude, and one is lachem, to coming to include. Why did you exclude kevusa? Why did you exclude melugma and include kevusa? You could have done it the opposite way. Gemara says, "Marbe anita kevusa sheshave bechol adam," because everybody launders. It's like eating. It's like everybody has to eat. Everybody launders their clothes. So therefore, I'm going to say what? That it is going to be mutar. However, umotze anita melugma, but I'm going to come to exclude melugma she'eno shave bechol adam, because not everybody needs to put plaster on a wound. Okay, so now what did we see from this long braita? We were supposed to see a machloket amongst the tanaim legabe our etzim subject ostam etzim omed le hasaka. Where do you see in this long raya of stam etzim omdim lehasaka? So let's read Rashi, please. Yetzu mishta uchbusa. See that long Rashi? That's the whole proof right over there. She says, Yetzu mishta uchbusa. Well, that was the last line there. That, Shemesha'a Actually, let's go read a little more in the Gemara, please, before we go further. Kemanaz la hadetanya. Who is the following braita going? Like, we have a braita. The following braita is le'ochla ve'lo limlugma. Oh, it says le'ochla, but you cannot use it for a plaster. Le'ochla ve'lo zilluf. You're not allowed to use the wine of Shemitah to sprinkle in the house in order to make a good fragrant in the house. Le'ochla ve'lo la'asad b'menu afiktuzin. Afiktuzin is a certain type of medicine that they use in order to get people to vomit and throw up. Cannot use the Shemitah product for that. Come on, who's it going like? Can it be Yoseh? Right? Must be going like the Yoseh. Why? Because the Ikra Banan, Ikanami Mishtah Musa. Because if it was going like the rabbis, they should have added other things to the list. Laundering and soaking would be Asur as well. And the fact that the Braita only says that Milugma is Asur, that must be going like the Yoseh, because he allows soaking and he allows laundering. So the Braita must be going like Shitat Rabbi Yoseh. Okay, now that we finished this, now we have to see this big Rashi. Yatzu Mishra Uchbusa. Read Rashi. Misha Anato Bi'oro Shave. Hana'a Shi'i Bish'at Shukale. That's the explanation, which we saw as many times. That the Hana'a happens at the time of the destruction of it. Min ha'olam. Ata yachol le'anu b'perot shavit. Kodem Zman HaBiur. Then you could benefit before Zman HaBiur. But if not, not. So look at Rashi. Yatzu Mishra Uchbusa. The second you put a beged or a pishtan in the wine, it gets ruined. The nivar, and it gets destroyed. Wow, sometimes it's 3 to 4 days for the soaking process to work. So the hana'ah is not until 3 or 4 days later. Or the beged is clean. Good. Oh, here is the machloket amongst the tana'im. How? The Rabbanan Savri, the rabbis hold, stam perot la'achila. Stam perot are omed for eating. V'hayla alayu kedushat shiv'it kedraman ne'el. V'chod davar shanato bi'oro shaveh. Anything that the hana'a and the biura at the same time. Hayla hilkach. Afilu lektan mishra uchbisa. Here's the point. Even if you pick these grapes for laundering purposes, or you pick the grapes for mishra purposes, lo mehanya machshaba afkurei esuran lemevek alekanim shelektan neitzim the mishteru. It's not going to be like alekanim that we learned on yesterday's daf that goes after the machshaba, because those type of items can go either way. So items that can go either way, your machshaba can affected. Stamayu, they can go either for achila or they can go for etzim. Oh, aber pirot, when it comes to fruit, staman achila. Umishat yitzidatan, from when they're created, hayil kedushatan. Vitulomahani machshaba leafkure isuran lemishta v'kmisa. Which means it's not going to help you that you pick these grapes over here for kmisa, which means you're right. Even though, so even though these fruit over here, when you picked it for laundering, still, and what? En anatam, and en anatam bi'oran shaveh. Also, the chavras shemita should not apply, but it does according to the rabbis. Why is it asur? Because staman omdim le'achila. So therefore, your machshava does not make a difference. The en nenim b'tushat shemit ela anahad umel achila v'gabe etzim nameh. So apply this sevarat to etzim. What we want to apply it to. Stam etzim lahasaka nitanu. That's reverse. Stam etzim is lahasaka. And therefore, even if you're going to take it, let's say, for lighting purposes, which they will have to be unanaa at the same time, still it's going to be mutar. Because staman ondim lahasaka. Velo chayla afilu ha'etzim demishhan. Even like the trees that we learned on yesterday's daf, the oil trees that are really used for lighting, and on lighting it's bi'oran ba'ana'aratan shavim ke'achad, still, since taman ondim lehasaka, mutar. So again, got the rabbi shita? Again, the rabbi shita was wine. Wine. Am I allowed to launder with it? Of shemitah, why not? Ena natan veze ba'in. Ena natan. Oh. What's the explanation is, so the Gemara says that no. The reason why it's asur is because staman omdim leperot is la'achila. Stam yayin is omed for what? For eating. So therefore, even though I picked this yayin, not for eating purposes, I picked it for mishra, or I picked it for kivisa, it's still going to be asur, which means my kavana is not going to change it. Why? Because of the stamiyut shebo. Similarly, stam etzim omdim lehasaka. Therefore, it doesn't matter what my kavana when I picked the wood. I picked the wood for what? For lighting purposes. Doesn't matter. Staman omdim lehasaka. Therefore, it's going to be mutar. Similarly, stam perot omdim leachila. Oh, and achila is what? Hanatan ubi'uran shavin. Oh, but I did it for kivisa purposes. Doesn't matter. Because staman. So the rabbis subscribe to the staman theory. And the Bible says, the Rashi finishes big Rashi. He says, no. He says, machshava helps. Which means, even though staman le'etzim is lasaka, or stam perot, I should say, or lachila, but your machshava will help to say, I'm doing it for kivisa, and there will be mutar. So he owes that even a stam item that's omed for something, machshava will affect it, like ale kanim, but even more so. Good. So therefore, the rabbis, the B.O.S.A. will not only stam etzim business. Nafkamina, etzim de meshan, that you pick the etzim for lighting purposes, no good. So the Bible says, Mahmir in this case. Because bottom line, you go with the guy's machshava. Whereas the rabbi would say, I don't care your machshava, staman omdim le'asaka. So we have proven that is indeed a machloket amongst the Tanaim, Rabbi Yosef Rabbanan, if you go with the stam, etzim asaka or not. Comes the Gemara and says, okay, we quote from the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Ima Sheva. Okay, let's go back to the case of the Mishnah we learned earlier on yesterday's daf. We had a machloket in Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir. In the case of there where a dyer got tzimid, and the guy told him to dye it red, and said he dyed it black, or he told him to dye it black, and he dyed it red. So Rabbi Meir said, the guy's a gazlan, he's koneh b'shinui, and therefore he has to pay according to the tzimid, b'shat, that he got it. According to Rabbi Yehuda says no.
I agree he's a gazlan, and I agree that really Shilu should be kone, but you know what, we're canassing him. Because we don't want the guy who's negligent of it. We don't want the gazlan to be now neheneh from the shevach of this wool that he made now, that he's going to keep the wool and just pay back the wool according to the time of the gazlan. So we put a knas on. What's the knas? Knas says the guy gets his wool back and he pays the cheaper of the two prices. Cheaper of the two prices, either meaning, if the enhancement was cheaper than the product, which means, if let's say it cost him 3 dinarim with the dye, cost him 3 dinarim, but the enhancement was 5, so he only has to pay 3. Or vice versa, if the enhancement was 3 and he spent 5, he only has to pay 3 again. So we always give the advantage. The Mishnah's language was Yado ala tahtona. The guy that made the mistake over of dyeing the wrong color, he's on the bottom, which means he doesn't have any advantages, and therefore the owner of the tzimin always gets the cheaper price to get it back. That's the machlokes in Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir. Now we begin the Gemara. Yativ Rav Yosef Achored Rabbi Abba. Rabbi Yosef was sitting behind Rabbi Abba when they were learning. Kamed Ravuna, when they were learning in front of Ravuna. Yativ Ravuna v'kamar. Ravuna got up and he said, well, he was sitting and he said, Halacha k'Rabbi Yoshua ben Korcha v'halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, he said two halakhot. Number one, we go like Yoshua ben Korcha. We don't know what that is yet. We'll see in the Gemara. And halakha also follows Rabbi Yehuda regarding this Mishnah. We just said Machlok Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda was posek like Rabbi Yehuda. Ahadirinu Rabbi Yosef le'ape. Rabbi Yosef turned his head away from the Rabbi Yehuda in anger. He turned his head away. Why? Ve'amar peshta Rabbi Yosef ben Korcha. It's tariq. Okay, listen. I understand, Rabbi. Why you had to tell me that halakha is like Rabbi Yosef ben Korcha? Sagad halakha midi yachid ve'rabim halakha kerabim. Because over there we're going to see Rabbi Yoshua argued with the Rabbim. So I would say, like Rabbim. So you needed to tell me, don't go like Rabbim. Halakha follows Rabbi Yoshua ben Korcha. Rabbi, I have no problem with you telling me that halakha. How do we know? Rabbi Yoshua ben Korcha, Mahi. What's the case of Rabbi Yoshua ben Korcha? Netanya, Rabbi Yoshua ben Korcha Omer, Milve Bishtar. Okay, let's get the laws over here. The Goyim have holidays. The holidays are based on Avodah Zarah. We're not allowed to do anything that's going to cause a Goy to be give gratitude to his Avodah Zarah, because we're causing him to do an Avon. So therefore, the law is like this. Let's say you lent the Goy money. You lent the money with a shtar, so it's guaranteed payment, because you have a shtar, you can take it to Beit Din and all that. You lent him with a shtar, now he wants to come pay you off 3 days before his holiday, within 3 days before the holiday, you don't have to accept it. Why? Because it's a pleasure for a person to pay off his debts, and he has a certain relief. What's the Goy going to do with the 3 days of his holiday? He's going to come along and say, thank the gods that I was able to pay back the debt. So therefore, you're not allowed to accept payment within 3 days, so they don't come to give a karat atov to their gods. That's only a meveh b'shtar. Because you'll get paid after the holiday. However, if it was a meveh al pay, if it's verbal, and the guy's coming to pay you, you take it now. Because if you're not going to take it now, he's not going to pay you. You're going to lose it. That's the Gemara. Gemara again. Let's read it again. Netanya, Rabbi Yoshua ben Korcha Omer, Milve b'shtar. If you have the shtar, you let the goy money in nifra'im mehim, which means you don't get paid before the holiday, so they don't come to give avodah to their avodah zara. However, milve al peh nifra'im mehim ipneshu kimatzil liyadam. But milve al peh, where there's no proof, it's just verbal. When the guy comes to pay you back, take it, because otherwise you're not going to get it. Well, that's the Yoshua ben Korcha. Rabbis argue with that. So he needed to tell me that what halakha can be Yoshua ben Korcha. Ela halakha ken Rabbi Yehuda l'amali, which is what do you need to tell me halakha ken Rabbi Yehuda? Because stam when you have a machlok and Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Meir, halakha ken Rabbi Yehuda. So what do you need to tell me? What do you need to tell me? This, I mean, it's pashut, yeah. Gemara says machloket v'harkach setam hi u'machloket v'harkach setam halakha kistam. Oh, now we have a rule. When you have, let's say, a machloket on something. For example, our mishnah is a machloket, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. And later on you have another mishnah that is a stam. That just brings me one of the two opinions. That's called the machloket, the stam. What's the deen when it comes to a machloket and a stam? Machloket, v'achak stam, halakha, kistam. Okay? Now, machloket bebaba kama. The machloket is now a masik. Masik is baba kama. We just read it. Litzbo alo adom utzbo shachor. Shachor utzbo adom. That's the case where he messed up. He wanted a black and he made it red. He gave it to him red. He gave it to the red. He did black. Machloket. Rabbi Meir omer noteno demesamro. Rabbi Meir says you have to pay back according to the time when he gave it to you. You have to pay back wool. Rabbi Yehuda omer אף השבח, אם השבח יתר על יציאה, נותן לו את היציאה. אם יציאה יתר על השבח, נותן לו את השבח. Which means the ביהודה said, no, the person that made the mistake, the Uman is at a disadvantage. I mean, the owner only has to pay back the cheaper of the prices. Either the enhancement was cheaper, or the products that he used were cheaper. That's the machloket masechet Baba Kama. Where's the stam? The stam bebaba metziah. We didn't get to that. That's the baba metziah. Ditnan kol ha-mishane yado ala tachtona. That we're not going to get into now. That's basically a law that says what? I'm sorry, that is the law that we're talking about. Kol ha-mishane, anybody that changes, like this guy over here, red to black, black to red, he's on the bottom. Meaning he gets disadvantaged, exactly like Nabi Yehuda. Kol ha-chozer bo yado ala tachtona. Anybody that retracts on a deal, also his hand is on the bottom, which we'll see that in baba metziah. But what do you see over here? We have a stam ve'ahar kach machloket. Mechila. We have a machloket, v'akach stam. That was Rabbi Yosef's claim. Rabbi, what did you have to tell me? Akach is going to be Yehuda. It's a machloket, v'akach stam. We don't rule. Machloket, v'akach setam. Halakha, k'stam. So, pashut, halakha is going to be Yehuda. Meaning, Rav Huna came into the Beit Midrash that day, he says, Rabbi Yosef, halakha is going to be Yehuda. So, Rabbi Yosef said, turn his head. What are you telling me this here? You don't got to tell me this halakha. I know the deen. Baba Kama is a machloket. Baba Metziah is a stam. Machloket, v'akach stam. Halakha. Kistam, right? That's the question. Rav Huna, it's tarikh. Oh, so what did Rav Huna have to say this for? Salkan al-Khamina, en seder le-Mishnah. Ustam ha-Hakak mahloketi. Rav Huna felt like this. Who told you there's no order to the Mishnah? Just because this was written in Baba Kama, this is written in Baba Metziah, who said Baba Kama came first? Maybe in the order of the Mishnah, this came, and therefore maybe it's not a machloket and a stam. Maybe it's a stam, and then a machloket. That's why Rav Huna had to come along and say halakha is like Rav Huna. Then Rav Yosef says, what are you talking about? I don't buy that argument. Iyache, kol machloket v'hakak stamma, nema insid le Mishnah. V'stam v'hakak machloketi. So what do you have a rule then? So Rav Yosef says, in every rule, you tell me machloket v'hakak stam. There's no such thing as a rule like that, because who said insid le Mishnah then? So you know, the Rav Huna, kilo aminin answered the Mishnah b'chada masechta, but today masechtot amina. In one masechet, if I have a machloket and a stam, I'm going to say it was written in order. There is a seder of mishnayot in one masechet. All Rav Huna was saying could be in two masechtot, like Baba Kama and Betziah. Maybe that's when you say answered the Mishnah. That's why I had to come along and say still on Kafaz Rabbi Yehuda, because indeed it was a machloket and a stam. Even in two masechtot, there is a seder. Oh, Rav Yosef. Kula nizikin hada masikhtahi. It's all one masikhah. Baba Kama, Metziah, Batra, it's all considered nizikin. It's all considered one masikhah. Therefore, it's pashut. Definitely didn't have to tell to me. Viva etema. Or we could say that Rabbi Yosef was pashut. That what? That you go like the stam mishnah baba Metziah. Why? Mishum diktani la gabe el keta pesika. Because it says in the mishnah there are two laws. It says the law of kola mishane yadola tahtona, and it says also the law of kola hozerbo. Now we know the law of kol ha-chozer, but whatever it is, et halakha pesukah. Nobody argues on that. So the fact that it put kol ha-mishaneh in the same mishnah as kol ha-chozer, but we know that kol ha-chozer was halakha pesukah, must be kol ha-mishaneh is also halakha pesukah. Again, let's read that inside. Ve'iba etem ha-mishut dektari la-gabel ketah pesikta. Kol ha-mishaneh yadol ha-tachtona, v'chol ha-chozer bo yadol ha-tachtona. So therefore, since it put kol ha-mishaneh next to the halakha of kol ha-chozer, and we know kol ha-chozer is pesukah, so Rabbi Yosef said, you don't have to tell me this halakha is going to be Yehuda. It is obvious from the placement of this halakha next to a halakha pesukah that no, therefore the halakha indeed follows Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara continues. Tanu Rabbanan hanoten ma'ot l'shlucho likach lo chitin. He gave money to his shaliach in order that he should buy for him chitin, and they're going to split the profits. Ve'lakach mehen se'orin. And instead the shaliach went and bought barley. Se'orin, he told him to buy se'orin, again they'll split the profits. Ve'lakach mehen chitin. And they took chitin. So he bought the wrong item. Tanya chada, so we have one baraita that says, im pechatu. If let's say the price of chitin or the se'urin that the shaliach bought went down, the price went down, the hatu lo. So he has to absorb the losses. The imotiru, but if they went up, otiru lo. So everything is the shaliach. The shaliach absorbs the gains, the shaliach absorbs the losses. The tani chada, we have another bright that says, im pechatu, pechatu lo. If they go down, so the shaliach absorbs the losses because he changed.
Vimutiru otiru laemsa. And if the price went up, they split the profits. So comes again and says, Amar Rabbi Yohanan. So we have a stira on the braita basically. How do you make this deal? How does it work? Amar Rabbi Yohanan lakashya. Ha Rabbi Meir. Ha Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yohanan. So Rabbi Yohanan says lakashya. Ha Rabbi Meir. Veha Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara is going to explain, but let's just review the two shitot of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda bar Mishnah. The case of was talking about where a guy gave wool to a dyer. He told him to do it for me red, and he did it black. Or he told him black, and he did it red. So according to Rabbi Meir, the sabba is kone b'shinui, he's a gazlan, and he has to pay back the wool according to the sha'a of the gizela. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, we're not going to reward the gazlan that he should keep the shebach that he did. Elawat, the gazlan, the nigzal, can pay the cheaper of the two prices for the wool. Either the amount, whatever is cheaper, either the amount that it cost him to dye, or the enhancement of the wool, whatever is cheaper, that's what he pays in order to get the wool. So the Gemara wants to say, this machloket over here between the two braitot, by the case of the guy that changed, he gave him wheat, go invest for me, go buy wheat, and he went by barley. So we have two braitot. One braita says the shaliach gets all the benefits. If it goes up, he gets the benefit. If it went down, he gets the benefit. And the other braita says no. If it goes down, he absorbs the losses. The shaliach, because he changed, and the profits they split. So the Gemara says, yeah, that's the machlokah of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir. How? So the Gemara explains, ha, Rabbi Meir de Amar Shinu Ikone. Right. One braita that says what? The Shaliach gets everything is following the braita like Rabbi Meir of the Mishnah that said what? Shinu yuskone. You changed. You, well, I told you to buy me wheat. We're partners. You bought barley. Barley is a shinui. You're kone the barley yourself. Whatever happens to the barley goes up and you make profit. Goes down, goes down. Therefore, that's Rabbi Meir that says shinui is kone. Veha Rabbi Yehuda de Amar shinui eno kone. Which means, in this case, we're not going to consider him a gazlan in order that he should benefit, right? Because if it goes up, what are you going to say? He's going to get the money? That's, we're not going to say that. Ela, the braita that says that the losses are his, it also says because he changed. And the profits he has to split, that's going to be with that. It says we're not going to reward the gazlan by getting the profits. Ela, he still has to split the profits. So that's the Bi Yehuda, that's the Bi. Let's see the she for a second. Do we have the she? Yeah, look at the top of the sheet. Ha Rabbi Meir, kamaita Rabbi Meir. The first part doesn't be Meir, the Amar Shinui Kone. But right there, Rabbi Yehuda, the Amar Shinui Eno Kone. Umiyu, im pihatu, pihatu, no. But if the price went down, then the Shaliach absorbs the whole thing. Delav, la'avate shadre. Right, I didn't send you to hurt me. I sent you to benefit me. You changed. So the Gabe losses, he suffers all losses. But the Gabe profits, Rabbi Yehuda is going to say that they split the profits. Comes again and says, Matkif la Rabbi Elazar. Who told you to learn like this? Mimai. Who told you to learn like this? That this is the Bahog Rabbi Meir Rabbi Yehuda. Dilma adkan lo kamar Rabbi Meir ela bimidi de hazile legufe. Which means maybe the whole Mahlok between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir is in an item that has intrinsic worth that can be used by itself. For example, Tzemer, where they argued, Tzemer you can benefit by wearing. Or let's say a chair. You gave wood to a carpenter to make a chair, and he made a bench. So all these items are items that you're able to use, and therefore the guy's makpid on what he wants. I told you I want a red sweater. You brought me a black sweater. I don't want a black sweater. Red sweater. So in that case, we have a machloket between the Biuda and the Bimeir. And an item where the guy can physically benefit from, and the guy made a shinui on it. So there we have a machloket between the Bimeir and the Biuda. Is he considered a gazlan? There the Bimeir will say, you're a gazlan. You made a shinui. Why? I'm giving you back a red sweater. I don't want a red sweater. I want to wear a black sweater. Therefore, you made a shinui. Therefore, in that case, the Bimeir will say, he's koneh with the shinui, and therefore, because the balabai is probably makpid on such an item, therefore you just have to pay him back a shahat hagazela. However, aval ischora lo amar. But here is business. I told you to buy wheat. What I really meant is, I want to make money. So therefore, if you instead bought barley, could be even if Meir will agree that what? That in this case over here, we're still
partners. Because really, when I told you A, I didn't mean to the exclusion of B, in a case where I could benefit from the item physically. So when I told you I want red and you did black, I'm makpid. But I'm not going to be makpid if you, instead of buying me wheat, you bought me barley and you made a profit on the barley. Okay, I'm glad. So then in that case, could be that Mimi will agree with Rabbi Yehuda and say what? That even if he switched, they still split the profits because it's chora. Read Rashi inside. Rashi, third line. Ligufet, semel lilbosh, v'safsal l'shtamesh. There you could say the guy's makpid. Exactly, I'm happy to make profit with anything. Right, and the fact that I told you wheat, and now you made barley, you bought barley, that's not a shinui. Profit and profit. What do I care if it's profit from chita or profit from barley? So therefore, don't learn the two braitot are one like Rabbi Meir, like one like Rabbi Yehuda. So they do the Bible like Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir. Could be even Rabbi Meir will agree that they both split the price, like it's on the shinui. So we have to explain the braitot then. So what's the pshat in the two braitot? Ela amar Rabbi Elazar. Aveha Rabbi Meir. Lakashia. Kan achila. Kan ushora. No, good. Both are like Rabbi Meir, but depends what the guy's covenant was. If he told him, go buy me chita to eat, and then he switched and bought se'ora, he's makpid on that. I'm going to eat it. I don't want to eat se'orim. Therefore, when you switched, you bought it. It's yours. Therefore, you koneh the se'ora, and therefore, if it went down, you suffered a loss. If it went up, you... Because in that case over there, the guy's makpid. But if he told him, for business, I don't care what you bought. You have profits, I'll share the profits either way. So it depends what he told him to do. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, no, Rashi, it's Pashut. Okay, so now let's review. You got that answer? That answer's clear. So now the Gemara comes along. So we're basically two ways to enter these two braitot. We have the Yohanan's Derek and we have the B El Azar's Derek. Let's go back to the Yohanan's Derek for a second, because then the Gemara is going to question the Yohanan's Derek. The rest of the Gemara questions the Yohanan's Derek. His Derek was, how to be Meir, how to be Yehuda. Let's talk in the Yehuda. What's the case according to Rabbi Yehuda? The guy told him, go buy me Hatim, go partners. He went and bought Se'orim. Okay, bought Se'orim. Now what does he mean he bought Se'orim? Speak it out. That means he went to a guy and he told him, I want to buy Se'orim. He didn't tell who he's buying it for. He told him he's buying it for himself. He didn't say anything. I'm buying Se'orim. So the guy sold him Se'orim for him. Okay, what happened to Se'orim? Let's say it went up. So Rabbi Yehuda says you got to split it with the original guy, with the guy that sent you. Okay, that's Rabbi Yehuda Shita. So the rabbis of B'nai Ma'arabah, it is still had a problem with that, how it works in mechanics. Why? Mahachu ala b'Ma'arabah. B'nai Ma'arabah, B'nai Eretz Yisrael, they laughed at the Yohanan's interpretation. Why? The Rabbi Yohanan alibad Rabbi Yehuda. The way Rabbi Yohanan explained Shitat Rabbi Yehuda, that even though he changed from what he told him to buy, they're still partners. V'chi mi hodi'o le'ba'al chitin. Shiyakne chitin le'ba'al ma'ot. Who told the guy that's selling the chitin that there's somebody that's a partner over here that it should be makneh the goods to him? Again, let's give names. Reuven sends Shimon, you're my Shaliah, go buy Se'orim. Okay? Shimon goes, and now there's a seller. Right? The seller is selling him, he's selling him Chitin, because he switched. Right. He's selling him a different item. So the Biyuda says, oh, they're partners. Chitin went up, they're partners. Meaning Shimon and the original guy, Reuven, they have split the profits. So the rabbis in B'nai Ma'arabah, they left. They said, who told this seller that's selling the chitin to Shimon that there's even the Reuven involved? Implying that the makneh has to know who he's selling it to. And if he doesn't know who he's selling it to, it's not going to go to him.
Right.
Now, we need to clarify this question. Rashi, please. מי הודיעו למוכר החיטין שלצורך בעל המעות הן שיקנה לו דקטני כשיתוב מי הותירו לאמסה. You told this with the prophets. Now, why is this only a problem according to Rabbi Yohanan? Why according to Rabbi Elazar it's good? So that she says,
Bishlama Rabbi Elazar, Alibad Rabbi Meir, Te'amar Bikol Dehu Nihale.
According to the way Rabbi Elazar said, I don't care what you buy. Buy barley, buy wheat, just bring me profit. That's the way he understood him.
Lab Mishanehu.
So therefore, Shimon is not changing.
And therefore, v'shtichute de ba'alabayit kabid.
He's fulfilling the shtichut. That means, when he buys the barley, or he buys the wheat, he's fulfilling his shtichut, and therefore the partners.
V'kani ba'al ma'ot ma'asit askar.
And Rabbi Yohanan that said what? No, we consider you a mishaneh. Rabbi Yohanan said,
de'amar mishanehu ve'lo avi shtichut.
I mean, Rabbi Yohanan, let's understand what Rabbi Yohanan said. Rabbi Yohanan said, bottom line, you did change what you were supposed to do. He told you buy wheat, and you bought buy. So you're a mishaneh. But I'm not going to make you a mishaneh to the extent that you're going to koneh the item for all practical purposes. Ela, you'll be a mishaneh partially. But you still have to share the profits with the original guy.
So, umiyu shinui lokane. Kasha dememan kabael lemikni hay lo kananu ba'amot me'olam,
which means Reuven never got the ma'ot. If I'm your shaliyah, then you got it from me. If I'm not your shaliyah, because I was mishaneh, well, this guy that sold it to you was not makneh it to the ba'al ma'ot. So therefore, how did Reuven get the money? He didn't get it from you because you're a mishaneh, and he didn't get it from the guy who's selling because he didn't know he existed. So therefore, according to the Yohanan, the rabbis of Bnei Mara left. How did it get to? How did it get to him?
So the Gemara says, "Hey, matkif Rav Shmuel bar Sasrati, yache afilu hitin vehitin namelo."
So he asked a seemingly interesting question. Is that what I mean? You're telling me what? The guy who sold it didn't know there's another party. So then according to you, even if it's wheat, it should not split the profits. Because the guy who sold the wheat also didn't know there was a Reuven involved.
Kemal says, no. Amar Abi Abu Shani Hitin V'Hitin T'Shtichute Ka'abid V'Chi Balabai Dameh.
Don't ask me from Hitin V'Hitin. When you told me to buy Hitin and I bought Hitin, I'm like Reuven. So therefore when you sold me Hitin and it goes into my hands, it's like it went into the hands of Reuven. What they were laughing at Rabbi Yohanan was when the guy changed and you said you split the profits, how does that work?
So the Gemara says now Rabbi Abhu is going to prove his point.
Which that's going to get clarity because I don't want to lose this point here now. Rabbi Abhu is explaining the Shita B'nei Ma'arabah. They understood the case of Hitin V'Hitin. Because when it comes to Hitin V'Hitin, I'm your Shaliyah. So therefore when I get the thing, I don't need him to know anything. I got the Hitin, so therefore I'm makneh to the original guy.
Right.
And Rabbi Abhu says, and I'll prove it here that that's true. Teda, from a case like this.
Ditnan Masechet Einchin. Echad Magdish Nechasav Ve'echad Ma'arich Et Atzmo.
Okay, what did the guy do? One guy was Magdish all his Nechasim. He was Magdish all his assets.
Ve'echad Ha'ma'arich Et Atzmo.
Another guy made his erich to the Beit HaMikdash. He donated his value. According to the Torah, every person has a certain value. He donated his erich to the Beit HaMikdash. Okay? Now the treasurer of the Beit HaMikdash comes to collect the goods. He comes to collect the collateral. Guy says, he's 35 years old. The Torah puts a specific price of his erich. A 35-year-old male, there's a certain erich. Right? So now the Gizbar of the Beit HaMikdash wants to come and get the money.
So Gemara says, "En lo bichsut ishto velo bichsut banav."
He cannot take his wife's clothes, nor can he take his children's clothes.
Look at Ashi. "En lo le Gizbar lo bichsut ishto le mashkenot,"
take it as a collateral.
"Bishvil ha'erich." וכן לגבי מקדיש,
or the guy was מקדיש all his נכסים,
לא אבי בכלל נכסים להקדישו.
Good.
Okay. Next case. ולא בצבע Shesabah Lishman. What's that case over there? That she says Lishman Tishtu Banab. I guess he sent wool to the dyer, and he told the dyer, I want you to make these clothes for my wife, or to make these clothes for my children. Velo besandalim hadashim shelekahan nishman. Or let's say he bought new shoes for his wife, but he never gave it to them. He just bought them. Even though they never wore them, the gizbar cannot take any of these items.
So they each works.
Oh, so now the Gemara says, Amai. Why? Lema hachaname mi hodi o lesaba shiyakne sivo laisha. Which means, you're telling me that when the saba gives the wool, let's get that, I'm going to give you the case clearly. The husband went and gave wool to the dyer. And his covenant was what? To give it to his wife. So the deen is, if this guy makes all his items hegdish, the gizbar cannot take this wool. Why cannot take this wool?
Correct.
Why? Because it belongs to the
wife.
Why? When the saba gives it back to the husband, he doesn't know that it's going back to the wife. So therefore, the chaura, why you tell me it's the wife's and the country? He doesn't know. Ela, you see what? Ela lab mishum da'amrinan, must be. Because we say, "Dishlihute ka'avid, ubiad uchiad ishtodane," that when the husband comes to pick it up, he's picking it up on behalf of the
wife,
and therefore his hand is considered like the hand of the wife. Therefore, the nechasim are not considered hegdesh. Hachaname, shlihute ka'avid uchiad balabaydame. So too in this case over here, when the guy told him, Reuven said, "Buy me chitin." And he went to buy chitin, even though the mocher doesn't know that there's somebody else, since I'm doing it for Reuven, so shlichutayu ka'avid. So therefore Rabbi Abba proves the case of Bnei Ma'arabah. Now we speak out. Bnei Ma'arabah came and they laughed against Rabbi Yohanan. So what are you talking about? In the case where the guy switched, how does Reuven get the money? I mean, he split the money. You know, you can't say he got it from Shimon, because Shimon was Meshane, he changed. He didn't follow instructions. And you can't tell me the guy who sold it to him, because the guy sold it to him didn't even know the guy existed. Oh, so what was the Yalat talking about? They left. So the rabbi said, hey, what are you laughing? According to you, when the guy said, buy me chitin, and he bought chitin, how did he get the profits? V'chi, the mocheh knew that the Uven existed? He says, no, it's not in that case. But then Rabbi makes sense in that case. Because in that case, he was a shaliach for Reuven. So his hand is like Reuven's hand. And I'll prove it to you, just like the case of Hekdesh. Case of Hekdesh, I make all my nechashim Hekdesh. All my assets are now subject to the gizbar. I can take anything as collateral, but not my children's clothes. Even clothes that I pick up from the tailor or pick up from the sabah, the gizbar cannot take those. What, Vichy, when the Gizbar gives me, does he know it's for my daughter? No.
Right, why not?
The Gemara is assuming he doesn't. He gave it to me, he gave it to the father. The father's going to give it to the kid. So therefore, to the wife. Oh, and still you see what? The Gizbar cannot take it. What's the pshat must be? Because since I'm the shaliach for my children, so therefore I'm like the extension of their hand. So you see, that's why when it's similar to Hittin. But Amar Rabbi Abba comes along and says, no. Rabbi Abba comes along and says, no. Kol ha-magdish nechasav en da'to al kesut ishto ubanav. Totally different reason. Really, I can argue with you that what? That really the guy needs da'at to be maknet. And really, when the guy gets the garment in his hand, it doesn't belong to his wife yet. Because really, the guy didn't have da'at to be makneh to his wife yet. So then why are these items not considered hikdesh? Because in his da'at, when a guy makes things hikdesh, he does not include things that are going to belong to his wife, or things that he bought for his wife. Really, I can tell you the husband really owns it now.
But stuff that he bought to give to his wife or to give to his children, these items are not included. So therefore you have no ra'aya. Matkif, I understand what she's really like to tell you. That what? My question is a good question. The chitin, who is makneh the chitin to Reuven? Oh, it was a shaliyah. I'll bring a ra'aya for Mekdesh. He's a shaliyah for the kids. No, I can tell you really maybe the garments belong to the husband still. So why then can't the Gizbar take it? Because his da'at is when he makes something Ekdesh, it's not going to be on things that he intends to give to his children. But what are you talking about? Does a guy think when he makes his items Ekdesh, you think his mind is to give his tefillin away to the Ekdesh? Of course he wants to wear them the next morning. And still what does it say? If a person's Magdish, all his Nechasim, the Gizbar can take the tefillin. So what do you see? It doesn't go with da'at. Don't tell me, oh, his da'at is on this or not on this. No da'at, no nothing. You say all your nechassim are Ekdesh, we'll even take your tefillin. And therefore, we'll even take your daughter's item. Unless you say it really belongs to the daughters. Mm. And how are you going to say it really belongs to the daughters? Because must be that once the father took it amenat to be the shaliach for the daughters, it goes to the daughters. Amalu Abaye. אין דעתו של אדם על תפילין המקדיש נכסיו סבר מצווה כעבידנה ואין דעתו של אדם על כסות אשתו ובניו משום איבה. Which means, really I can tell you, the guy's mind is not on the tefillin, meaning, give the tefillin to the gizbar. You know what? Because I'm doing a mitzvah. And therefore, I'm patur from tefillin. I don't want tefillin. This is a mitzvah. It's a bigger mitzvah to give my money to Ekdesh than to even... And if I'm showing you how much I love Ekdesh, I'm even going to put my tefillin in the pile. Take everything. But when he says Ekdesh, he'll be willing to give up his tefillin. But he's not going to give up his kid's clothes or his wife's clothes. Because mm-hmm. That's going to bring to Eva. That's going to bring to fight. Because it's like, hey, what you doing? Did you take my clothes? So therefore, really I'll tell you, since the Mekne doesn't know who he's giving it to, it doesn't belong to the wife. Really it belongs to him. Also, if it belongs to him, how come the Gizbar can't take it? Because in Adam da'ato on this, but his da'at is on the tefillin, yeah, tefillin is willing to give up. He thinks he's doing the mitzvah by giving up the tefillin. But she'en ken, he's not going to give up his wife's things that are destined to come to her. Because he doesn't want to get involved in Eva. Okay. So comes Gemara and says, Matkif Larab Oshaya. The halo, Haybe Erchim Sheninukan. Part of the case that we talked about in this case, not only Magdish Nechasav, one of the cases was Erchim, right? Marich et Atzmo. And what does the Mishnah say? That the Gizbar cannot pick up the wife's stuff. Now, We learned, Hayave Erchin, me mashkenin otan. You're able to take mashkon. Vechi dato shel Adam al atzmo le mashkeno. Oh, which means when a person makes an erich, at that time does he have kavanah that the gizbar is going to take his nechasim against his will? Of course not. Which means, and still we're saying what? Again, one of the cases was over here where he said, Irki alai. What's the deal in the Mishnah when a guy says, Irki alai? Gizbar comes in, takes anything they want, it's collateral. Now, when a guy said, Irki alai, he didn't say, Hegdesh. Hegdesh, okay, Hegdesh, you can take anything. It means Hegdesh. Irki alai. Did I mean that why you come collateralize all my items now? Of course he wasn't thinking that. And still, what's the deal? You can go in and take out and take everything. Now, but what does it say? But you can't take the wife's clothes. The only way you can explain that is if the clothes belong to the wife. But if the clothes belong to him, they're going to become collateralized. And therefore, what's the only way it can belong to the wife? They have to say, he was the shaliach when he picked it up. That even though the makneh didn't know it goes to the wife, but since he's acting on the agent of his wife, so therefore belongs to the wife, that's why the items are not considered collateralized. But if you're going to consider it that what, it's his, then the chalad, just like he didn't want anything to become collateralized, the shoes and all that are something to be collateralized as well. Ela amar bi abba. Different understanding of why can I take these items? Kol magdish nechasav na'asa kemi sheknad lahem kisut ishto banam meikara. Oh, different mechanics. When I make all my items hekdesh, it's like 1 second before I made it hekdesh, I was makneh all these items to my children. I was makneh all these items to my wife. Which is really, when I go pick it up, it's mine. The guy doesn't have da'at, he cannot be makneh to the, doesn't go to the kids. And my shlichut does not make it to kids either. So when I picked it up from the sabah, when I picked it up from the shuman, and they never wore it yet, really it's mine. So if it's mine, why is it not hekdesh? Because we say that 1 second before he makes his items hekdesh, the guy himself is makneh the goods to his children. Similarly, when a guy says irki alai, even though you can take anything against his will, but you cannot take things that don't belong to him, and this item 1 second before he makes erechi is makneh it to his children. Which means, basically what comes out of this sugya, and this is where it ends. Bnei Ma'arava came along and they didn't like Rabbi Yohanan. They said, Rabbi Yohanan, you don't make any sense. You know why you don't make any sense? Because when the guy said, buy me wheat, and he bought barley, and you tell me they still split the profits, how does Reuven, the guy that sent him, have any sheikhut to the prophets? He's not a shaliyah. He made a shinui. And this guy that sold him the stuff didn't know Reuven existed. So how does it work? Well, they left him. So they told back Bnei Ma'arava, hey, according to your logic, that the makneh has to know what he's doing. And when the guy told him, buy me wheat, and he bought him wheat, did the makneh know what he was doing? He didn't know who he's selling to. What's the pshat over there? So Bnei Ma'arava answered, they didn't have to know. When he gives it to him, he's the shaliyah. I'm working on behalf of Reuven, so when I get the money, it's like the money is by Reuven. And I'll prove it to you, by the case of Hekdesh. They say, your proof from Hekdesh is not a good proof. Because there I could tell you, when the guy, father went to pick up the stuff from the Sabah, the guy didn't know that it's the kids. But you'll say what? That once the father picked it up for the kid, he's the shaliyah for the kid, therefore the kid gets it. I can tell you no. That since the guy didn't know, it doesn't belong to the kid. It really belongs to the father. Oh, so then why is it not hekdesh? Because 1 second before he's makneh to the kids, when it came to hekdesh. Therefore your ra'aya from hekdesh is not a ra'aya. But basically, Bnei Ma'arava still had a question against the Yohanan. They started a question against the Yohanan, but there was a question against Bnei Ma'arava. They tried to answer it from hekdesh, but they said, your ra'aya from hekdesh is not an answer. Good. Okay, the Gemara needs just to have a little clarification over here between the rabbi, the Bishmuel Bar Sasrati, and Bnei Ma'arava. In the sense that Bnei Ma'arava had a good question. They came along and said, in the case where he says, buy me hatin and buy me se'orin, and you said to Yohanan that what, according to one Baraita, you split the prophets, according to the Bihuda, how do you split the prophets? The Baal Ma'ot, he was never kone anything. Because the guy who sold it didn't know he existed. And the guy was not his shaliyah. So they left. They said, well, how can you say such a shita? So to that, Rav Shmuel Bar Sasrati had a question. He said, if that's your logic, in the case of Hatin V'Hatin also. Hatin V'Hatin also, the makneh had no da'at to be makneh. They had no idea that there was a Baal Ma'ot over here. Didn't know that Reuven existed. That was his question of Shmuel Bar Sasrati. And then Bnei Ma'arava answered, no, he's making a shliachot. He was a shaliyah for that. So he was a shaliyah to buy wheat. So therefore, when he gets the wheat, it's like Reuven owns the wheat, the original guy. What was Shmuel Bar Sasrati thinking? Well, he didn't know that he was a shaliyah. And the pshat is like this. Shmuel Bar Sasrati was trying to explain to Yohanan's logic. He says like this. When the guy comes along and sells hatin, he doesn't know that Uven exists. But Rav Shmuel Bar Sasrati understands it like this. The guy that's giving the money to the mocher, and the mocher is selling the chitin, the mocher's da'at is whoever the money belongs to. Not necessarily the one that's giving me the money. Could be the one that the money belongs to. Could be it's another guy. So even by chitin ba chitin, the Shmuel Bar Sasrati learns there's da'at makneh. So for that same logic, when the guy tells him, buy me chitin, and he buys him se'urin, there's also da'at makned, to whoever the money belongs to. So Shmuel Basasati understands there's always da'at makned, and you need da'at makned. Therefore, there's no chaluk between chitin v'chitin and chitin v'se'urin. There is da'at makned. To that, B'nai Ma'arava, they argue. They say, in chitin v'chitin, you don't need da'at makned, because since he's a shaliach, so even if you don't have da'at makneh, the shtar himself is like Reuven. When do you need da'at makneh? When he's not a shaliach. And like the case where he tells him, you buy me chitin, he bought him se'urin. He's not a shaliach. And the guy doesn't have da'at. Also, how does Reuven get it? That's why they laughed at Rabbi Yochanan. But Tanan Moshe said, this is what are you laughing at? L'chaora, in both cases there's da'at makneh. Just like in chitin v'chitin, we say that the guy's being makneh to whoever the money belongs to, which is Reuven. Similarly, chitin v'se'urin also to whoever the money belongs to. So therefore we have a tremendous machloket in the way to understand Rabbi Yochanan between the Shmuel Bar Sasati and B'nai Ma'arava. B'nai Ma'arava tried to bring a ra'ayah from Mikdash, the Gemara negated that ra'ayah. Baruch Hashem.